to be receptive to hear what the Lord is saying, what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church, that we would not leave this place just nodding our head and say, oh, wasn't that an interesting sermon, or that was a nice sermon. But, Lord, that we would be challenged to do something, Lord, to take some action, to have our lives changed by your precious word and by living out the faith that we keep talking about with our lips, Lord. We need to let our beliefs and our behavior be one and the same. Amen. Our walk and our talk need to be one and the same. Amen. So, Father, help us today. Anoint us by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. People are precious to God. People are precious to God. We started a study last week about living for what is precious and giving what is precious to God. Living for what is precious to God. When you begin to value what God values, when you begin to orient your life around the primary things that God speaks of, that Jesus taught about the kingdom of heaven, one of his first messages in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, Jesus taught, one of his first messages was all about the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are you when you are persecuted for my sake. Do not worry about your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, for your heavenly Father knows you have a need of all these things. The kingdom of God has often been described as an upside-down world. Upside-down world. Because in the kingdom of heaven, you put others first. In the kingdom of heaven, you humble yourself in the sight of God, and then he raises you up. In the kingdom of heaven, it's the pure in heart. It's the humble, the meek that will inherit the earth. Not the rich and famous, not the powerful, but it's those who have a pure heart, those who are following after God. You see, when you begin to study the Bible, you realize that the things that we often get caught up with and we pay attention to, we value, are not necessarily the same things that God values. As a matter of fact, Jesus confronted the Pharisees of his day with these words. He said to them, "What is highly valued among men is actually detestable in God's sight." Because the Pharisees were into the appearance of religion. They wanted to look right. They wanted to say all the right prayers. They wanted to have a certain pedigree. You know, my father was a rabbi, and my grandfather was a famous religious figure. And, you know, I never associate with anything unclean. I eat all kosher food, and I am, you know, righteous in God's eyes because I give my tithe and I do that. And it was all about performance. None of us are saved by our performance. Somebody say amen. Jesus did not come to call the righteous. He came to call sinners to repentance. We're all sinners. We all need to be saved by grace. So he challenged the Pharisees. And he said, and I like the way it says this in the contemporary English version. It says it this way. The things that most people think are important are actually worthless as far as God is concerned. Wow. Wow. The things that most people think are important, all your education, all you do, are those things important? Sure, it's good to have an education. Is it good to make a living? Yes, you want to make a living. Yes, you want to be rewarded for your labor. There's nothing wrong with that. But when you think that's the sum total of everything there is in life, you're missing the point. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, Jesus said, and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. You know, we're so caught up in wanting to be with the right people. We want to make connections with the right friends. We want to know somebody who's important. I've been guilty of this myself, you know, and we sometimes name drop. Oh, I know so-and-so, and I know such-and-such. God doesn't care about that. God is looking at your heart. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. God is looking at your heart. Jesus tells the story about how important people are. He says in Matthew 13, verse 44 to 46, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy for finding this one precious pearl," or this treasure, one parable says pearl, and one parable says, the other one says treasure, He went and sold everything that he had in order to buy that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found the one pearl of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. What is Jesus trying to teach here? What do you think he's trying to teach here? He's trying to say that when he came from heaven, he left the treasure of heaven. He found in one individual life something worth giving his whole life for. For God so loved the people of the world. We know we quote the scripture, for God so loved the world, and we think of a globe, an inanimate object. But think about what it's really saying there. It's saying God so loved the people of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they're all precious in his sight. That he gave his only son. So he's saying that, in a sense, the interpretation of this parable is that God was the merchant. God was the one who was looking for something that was so precious that when he found it, he was willing to give up everything in order to redeem that one thing, to own that one thing. He wants your heart more than anything else in this world. The Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And what can you give in exchange for your soul? What price can you put on your soul? God sent his son, the treasure of heaven. That's the price he put on your soul. You were not redeemed with corruptible things. You weren't purchased to God or ransomed from your sinful way of life because, with silver or gold, but you were purchased with the precious. Everybody say precious. The precious blood of Jesus. Some people have it backward. They want to live for things. They want to use people. But God says, love people and use things. It's okay to use things. We need cars. We need houses. We need clothes. And nothing wrong with that. I'm not, you know, putting you down if you, you know, you have goals in life to accomplish things. Nothing wrong with that. But just remember, that is not the sum total of what life is about. When you come to the end of life and when you get to the bottom line, it's really only what's done for Christ that will last. Amen. I've had the opportunity to know some very wealthy people in my life, and I've had this conversation with some of them. I said, you know, friend, everything that's important in life you can count on one hand. Everything that's important in life you can count on one hand. Number one, your relationship with God, your relationship with your family, right? Your friends, and then, of course, any good deeds that you've done, and the legacy that you leave. That's it. Everything else is going to be burned up. Everything else is going to be, you know, the Bible says, consumed by fire. So in God's kingdom, God's people, a people in general, are very important. And if you want to be like your Father in heaven, you have to value what he values. Then last week, we also talked about the precious blood of his son Jesus, which we remembered today at communion. We talked about the precious promises of God. Peter says that through his precious promises, you become a partaker of the divine nature. When you believe what God did for you and you put your confidence in him instead of your confidence in yourself, you become changed. You become transformed. You start to become more like Jesus. The more you believe his word, the more you put your trust in what he did for you, you appropriate, as Pastor Angela mentioned last week, you appropriate the promises for yourself. Here's one of them, for example. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things pass away, all things become new. That's a promise. That's a promise. If you are a Christian, your old life doesn't have to dictate, dominate, or destroy you. You don't have to be what the people said about you, what your parent might have said about you, what your teacher might have said, or what you're saying even about yourself. In Christ Jesus, you have an opportunity for a brand new life. That's a promise of God. When you believe it and you appropriate it, it changes who you are. Be not anxious about anything, but pray about everything. Instead of living with anxiety as the dominant pattern of thought in my life, anxiety, worry, pray. Pray instead. Pray instead of worrying. That's a promise. And on it goes. Give and it shall be given to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. then it says in the Bible that spiritual training is valuable to God. So precious promises, precious training, the lessons of life you learn, even when you go through hard times. How many of you have ever found that you've been through some stuff, you've been through some fiery trials, but then at the end of it, when you came out of it, you learned something important. You learned something important through it. That's called spiritual training. That's called spiritual training. And here's what the Bible says. It says, physical training is good, you know, to work out, but spiritual training. Have you ever been around somebody and say, man, that person, you know, they don't have the nicest clothes. They don't necessarily look rich or famous, or they don't look good looking or whatever. But when they open their mouth and talk, you can tell they've got some stuff on the inside of them. They got some maturity. They have some wisdom. They have some character. I like being around that person. You would be surprised. Some of the people that I've enjoyed being around the most are not necessarily what the world would consider famous or big shots or anything like that. Just humble people who knew God. And then we said that gaining wisdom. Wisdom is more precious than rubies. What's precious in God's eyes? Wisdom. Proverbs 8:11. For wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. And the last one we spoke about last week was a giving heart. We gave you the example of the woman in the Bible, the widow who gave the 2 coins. Jesus was watching as people were putting, you know, money in the treasury. And he says to his disciples, this little woman here has given more than all the others because she gave her last 2 pennies, everything that she had to live on. That's called a sacrifice. Somebody say amen. Amen. Psalm 126. Verse 6, he that goes forth weeping, the farmer who goes forth. Why is he weeping, by the way? Why is he weeping? I'll tell you why he's weeping. Because that seed that he's now casting into the ground to sow is the seed that he also uses to mash into flour, to make bread, to feed his family. It's the same seed. Some of it's going to feed his family, but some of it he's putting in the ground. So he's saying, God, I pray, oh God, I pray we get rain. I pray, Lord, that this seed will bring back 100-fold harvest. Hallelujah, 100-fold harvest, God. And here's what it says. He who goes forth weeping, bearing precious seed. Everybody say precious seed. Shall doubtless, in other words, without a doubt, come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. So when you give God your first fruits, you give God your tithe, you give God your offering, you're giving what is precious to God. You might say, well, Pastor, you know, I only make, I don't know, $100 a week. That's okay. Because if you can give God that $10, God will trust you when you're making $1,000 a week. And God will bless you so that you could make $1,000 a week. Come on. He goes forth bearing precious seed. That 10% is holy. Somebody say it's holy. The first 10% is holy. It belongs to God. I didn't say that. The Bible says it. And today what we want to close with, the final subject, what is precious to God? His church. His church. The church is his bride. Also called his body. We, as members of the church, and not just here at this location, all over Central Florida, and all over Florida, and all over, even in Mongolia. Hallelujah. There's churches in Mongolia. The church is precious to God. Ephesians, watch this. Ephesians 5:25-29-30. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. Everybody say the church. Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that is, the church. Then jump down to verse 29. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body. In other words, how a husband should nurture and care for his wife, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. So he treats us like his bride. He treats us special. the way a godly man is supposed to take care of his wife. Somebody say amen. 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 Wives, I'll give your husband a little tap right now. The way a godly man is to look after his wife, Christ looks after the church. He feeds the church. He nourishes the church. He loves the church. He sacrificed for the church. He gave his life for the church. Hallelujah. He purchased the church with his own blood. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Keep watch over yourselves and the flock. This is a warning to the pastors and the elders, the leaders of the church. Keep watch over yourself and all the flock. In other words, the body, the members of the church. They're compared to sheep. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. You know, I was trying to think of an illustration for this verse. And I was thinking of somebody, like let's take, and this has actually happened in some parts of the world, where in a oppressive regime like in communist, you know, China, or perhaps in Russia or other places in the world, or in the Middle East, where Christianity is persecuted. And I'm thinking of like a couple who have a precious child, and there are soldiers coming to attack and destroy this village because it's Christian and they hate Christians. And there's a man who is visiting with them in the house, and the couple is telling them about Jesus, and their little son is standing there, and this older man, this other young adult, or this man is there, and they're saying to him, I want you to take this child and raise him as a Christian and protect him. We're going to stay here, and we're going to give our lives. We're going to stand against these guards, against these soldiers. We're going to take a stand, but I want you to go and run to freedom. Take this baby with you and care for this child and raise him or her as a Christian. You see, that's the visual. That's the image that I get, that God said, I'm going to send my son. He's going to die. He's going to face the evil of this world. He's going to face all the forces of darkness. And he's going to shed his blood in order to win the battle against evil. But I want you to take this baby and always remember the price that I paid. I want you to remember my sacrifice. I want you to remember that I died so that you could have freedom. I died so you can raise this child now as a Christian, that you would consider his life precious because I considered your life precious. People, we need to consider the church precious to God. Don't ever talk bad about the church. Come on now. Don't get me started. The New York will come out of me. Don't get me started. Don't talk smack against the church. Come on now. I'm not saying we're perfect. I'm not saying that. But we are loved by God. We are his body. It's like talking about a man's wife. Imagine telling another man, your wife is ugly. Come on, we're going to have a little throwdown here. You can't talk about my wife like that and get away with it. He loves the church. He loves the church. He does. More than we love our wives. More. It's his body. It's his bride. The church is the only institution on earth. Let this sink in for a second. The church is the only institution on earth that God promises to build. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. A lot of people spend their lives chasing and wearing themselves out for the things of this world, just to end up with little or nothing. And people will literally spend themselves and give everything they have for the pursuit of something, the pursuit of happiness, the pursuit of pleasure, the pursuit of money, the pursuit of, relationships. You know, if I can only find the perfect woman, well, then you'd have an imperfect relationship because you're not perfect either. But the only perfect institution on earth is the church. in the sense that God sees it as his bride. Even though we're imperfect, we are becoming more and more the church he sees. Amen? And Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So I would rather give myself to something that's going to last forever. How about you? I would rather invest myself in the church than anything else. I want to encourage every one of you today. Listen to me for a moment. Every one of you who has volunteers in this church or some other place where you're giving yourself for the work of God. You're serving faithfully. You're reaching children. You're reaching out to teenagers and adults. And you're giving of your time. You're giving of your talents. You're giving of your treasures to God. Your work for the Lord is not in vain. Hallelujah. I want to tell you today that God put this in my heart to remind you, your work is precious. Your work is precious. Everything that you're doing for God is precious because it's being done for something he considers precious. It's being done for his kingdom, for his church. The church is the only entity that is destined to be victorious over everything else. The church is a victorious movement that will ultimately triumph over every selfish, every evil scheme in the world. The kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God and his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you're part of the church? Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm on the winning side. Hallelujah. You ain't no loser. God chose you. And God doesn't make no junk. God chose you. God chose you. If people don't like you, that's too bad. That's their problem. God likes me. Listen to what it says in Revelation. At the end of all things, this is our future. This is your future. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice, he judges and wages war. His eyes are like a blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him. That's us. Hallelujah. We're coming along. We're coming back with Jesus. Hallelujah, to rule and reign with Christ. The armies of heaven, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen. Fine linen represents the righteousness of the saints. So that's how we know that's the church, right there. For those of you theologians and scholars that are here today. Dressed in fine linen, that's referring to the church, because it says, coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. All the evil, all the wicked, all the great dictators and rulers and people with puffed up pride, they will all give an account to our God and his Christ. They will all stand at the white throne judgment of God, and he will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of his wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name called King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's our future. Hallelujah. So why should we live this weak and apologetic and defensive and survival, mamby-pamby kind of life? We are members of the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. We are worth something. We've got something going on. And this final point, and I close with this, the church is his family on earth. It's where the kingdom life of heaven is worked out in our day-to-day existence. So as the church loves each other, as the church accepts one another, as we encourage one another, we are creating an environment of the kingdom of heaven here on earth. That's why Jesus said, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Are you with me today? If you want to do a study on this, and we're going to do this in the life groups, we're going to pray for one another. We're going to bear one another's burdens. Look up in the New Testament the word one another, the phrase one another, and you'll see how the church works. Encourage one another. Pray for one another. Confess your faults to one another that you might be healed. accept one another, just as Christ accepted you. And then it also says that we all, each one of us, has a part to play. Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. Instead, speak the truth in love to one another. We will grow as we do this to become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head. That is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament. That's us. That's us. We're the body. Grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So, what's the summary? What's the conclusion? Let us be the church we're called to be. The church is precious to God, and we ought to be precious to one another. You know, I have been taught some very, very serious lessons in my life. I may have said this before in the pulpit here. There was one time when I was going for a physical test, and I had already been told by a pulmonary doctors, a group of doctors, that I had a mass in my lung, and I was just worried and saying, God, what is this? And is this the time for me to come home to be with you? I was still quite young, and I did a lot of soul searching during that time. How many of you know when you face something like that, you're going to do a little soul searching? And I realized, as I got on my knees, that for a long period of time, I had been carrying some resentment in my heart. And I had actually been keeping God a little distant. You know, I'm still serving him, still even preaching and being a pastor, but my intimacy with God was not there, because I was still blaming God for something. And during that week, I waited 8 days before I had to go for an MRI and get the results of the MRI. And I did some work in my own heart at that time. And I just said, God, forgive me. I have refused to be affectionate towards you. I have withheld, this is how I put it, I have withheld my affection from God. Did you know your affection for God is precious? You say, prove it. Say, prove it. Oh, thank you for that spontaneous remark. The woman who poured the alabaster ointment on Jesus, we said this last week, she was a woman of the street, not a good reputation. And Jesus defends her. It wasn't the ointment that was worth a year's wages, which is a lot of money, but it was her affection for him. Do you get this? Do you see this? He says to the crowd, leave her alone. They were criticizing. Why is she wasting this? We could have taken this money and given it to the poor. Why wasting this ointment? Jesus said, she did a beautiful thing for me personally. Everybody say, Jesus took that personally. See, when you show affection to Christ, he takes that very personally. That means a lot to him. Hallelujah. We're trying to replicate that in the church. We need to have genuine love for one another. And anyway, at the end of that week, I got the all clear. The MRI came back clear, and I just got on my knees, wept, and thanked God. And then as I was driving, I don't know if it was the next day, I was looking at people and said, God spoke to me very clearly. He said, David, I have valued your life. I have considered your life precious. Don't ever forget that. Now, I want you to remember that all these people you see along the street here, they're also precious to me. Just as I considered your life precious, so are these strangers. They don't know yet. Some of them don't know. Some of your neighbors, you're going to invite them to the life group. They don't know yet. They're important to God. They count. They're either, like Jesus said, the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. Remember that in Luke 15? Something important was lost, and Jesus went an all-out search to find it. People that are lost create an opportunity for God to do an all-out search, and many times he'll use us to reach that person who's lost. So care for people, love the church, and your reward will be great in heaven. Everyone said amen. and amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Amen. Let's stand together. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Brothers, well, one of you brothers, would you come? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Let's just wait on God for a moment. Hallelujah. What is God saying to me? If you would kindly just take a moment, ask yourself this question. What is God saying to me today? What is God trying to say to me in this message of living for what is precious to God and giving what is precious to God? I want to say it again. These last 2 weeks, God has given us a word for the church. Somebody say amen. God has given a word to the church. Living for what is precious to God. And even giving what is precious to God. Your heart is precious. And when you give your heart to Jesus, that makes him so happy. The Bible says there's a celebration in heaven. Even if one person, one lost person comes, the Bible says all the angels in heaven rejoice. Are you with me, church? How many of you want to rededicate yourself to live for what is precious to God and to give what is precious to God? How many of you, would you raise your hand? I want to rededicate myself today to live for what is precious to God and to give what is precious to God. I don't want to live for the world, the flesh, the devil. I want to live for the kingdom of heaven. Are you with me today? For what is valuable to God, the pearl, that pearl of great price. The kingdom of heaven is like the pearl that a man found. It's so important that he was willing to give up everything else to own that. The kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name.